This morning, when we were driving in our car to come to Eindhoven, there was a song, and two lines in the song said, God wants to do something new. Is there room in your heart today? God wants to do something new. Is there room in your heart today to do that? That was the question. That is the question that I would like to ask you, but also, of course, myself. Is there room in your heart today to do something new? Now, when you think about that, what comes to mind? What comes to mind when you think, is there room in your heart for God to do something new today? Is it in relation to your work? Is it in relation to your health? Is it in relation to your finances? Is it in relation to your status in life? Is it in relation to something that you haven't overcome yet in your life as a Christian? Is it something in your character that you said, yes, there is something I would like to change? Is there something within you that you said, there is something that I know that needs to change, but it's hard? It is difficult. Today, we're going to talk about Zechariah chapter 4. What do we see when we look at the book of Zechariah? The first thing that we see is I would like to give a little bit of background so that you understand what this book is all about. And for those of you that have an interest to know the ins and outs about the book of Zechariah, read the book of Nehemiah, read the book of Ezra, read the book of Zechariah, and read the book of Haggai. Those four books, they all stand together. And what do we see when we basically look at these four books? We see that the Israelites had come back from captivity. They had come back to the promised land under Nehemiah and Ezra. And as they were building the foundation of the temple, the people that were still in the land, that were put in the land by King Nebuchadnezzar, so foreign people in the land of Israel, they saw Nehemiah and Ezra rebuilding the temple, or at least the foundation. They started to fight against them. They started to send letters to Kores and say, Kores, those people are evil, those people are bad. And because of that, the building of the temple stopped. They should have been courageous and said, we are going to continue building the temple because that is what God wants. But they didn't do that. They allowed the enemy to stop building the temple. And according to those who studied history, for about 16 years, for about 20 years, nothing was done in relation to the building of the temple. The foundation had been laid, but that was it. And then for 16, 17, 20 years, they did nothing. When you read the book of Haggai, the prophet Haggai even tells them, look at your houses. You built your beautiful houses. You built all the earthly things that you wanted. That continued. What about my temple? And so the prophet Zechariah and the prophet Haggai, they were contemporaries. They were sent to the people of Israel in those days. So just picture the scene. Jews had come back to the promised land. They had started with the foundation of the temple. They stopped because the enemy was trying to get them down. They listened to them. And then after 16, 20 years, Zerubbabel and Haggai come and say, the temple needs to be rebuilt. That is what you have to do. That is important. So what do we see when we look at Zechariah chapter 1? Verse 7 through 17 has a vision. And the vision says the temple will be rebuilt. Vision number 2 in chapter 1, verse 18 through 21 says this. The nations that scattered Israel, they would be brought down to nothing. God says, I will deal with your enemy that took you to a foreign land. I will deal with it, God says. Vision number 3 in chapter 2, verse 1 through 5 says, Jerusalem will be inhabited again with many, many people. Vision number 4 in chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, the cleansing and the restoration of the high priest. So God, and when you look at Zechariah, the first couple of chapters, you find 8 visions in total. But they all have to do with the rebuilding of the temple, the cleansing of the priesthood, and God would deal with their enemy. That brings us to chapter 4 of Zechariah and the vision that we find in that chapter. Now, look at what it says. The heart of this vision is this. The angel who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who is awakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, what do you see? So the prophet comes to Zerubbabel and says, Zerubbabel, what do you see? And he says this. I am looking, and there is a lampstand. Now remember the lampstand that was in the temple of the Old Covenant. It was basically what we call in Dutch the kandelaar, with the 7 upgoing parts. And he says, I see a lampstand that is of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. So he sees the lampstand. Then above the lampstand, he sees a bowl. And on the stand, 7 lamps with 7 pipes to the 7 lamps. So from the bowl that was on top of the lampstand, 7 pipes went to the 7 lamps. So they were fed by the bowl. But that's not all. Then it says 2 olive trees are by it, one on the right and one on the left. That's what he saw. So a lampstand with a bowl on top by which the lamp was filled. And next to that whole scene were 2 olive trees. And the olive trees were feeding. The oil that came from the olive trees came into the bowl. And from the bowl, it went to the 7 pipes. So the lampstand, basically what we see here is we see a lampstand that was fed continually by the 2 olive trees. And that comes after the temple will be rebuilt. God will deal with the enemy. The high priesthood will be restored. And Jerusalem would be inhabited again with many, many people. And just take into consideration, for 20 years, those people had only saw the foundation of the temple. Nothing more. Only the foundation was there. And now there is a beautiful vision. And when you think about the lampstand, of course, Zechariah saw something that had never been seen. Because one of the more tedious duties of the temple service was the constant care of the lamps on the golden lampstand. They had to be continually refilled in order for it to be burning. So, the lampstand in the regular temple of God was a lampstand that needed to be filled continually. Now he sees a lampstand that is filled by itself. Now, what does he say? So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?" Zerubbabel says, "What are they? What's going on? What does this mean?" Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" And I said, "No, my Lord." And he answered and said to me, here is the answer. "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit." That's the answer. What does it mean? "Nor by might, nor by power, but by my spirit," says the Lord. What does that mean? Again, the picture is this. They started to build the temple. The enemies came. The enemy said, "You need to stop." They listened to the enemies. God's work was not done. Now we have visions. Those eight visions altogether, they all have something to say about the rebuilding of the temple. But guess what? God says it will not be by might, it will not be by power, it will be by my spirit. And that is the meaning of the vision. The vision of the meaning is basically there is a lampstand that normally should be filled again every time. Now there is a lampstand that is filled continually from God's source himself. And that's the beautiful part. That's the beautiful thing about this vision. God says, in other words, "I will help you. I will do it. It doesn't depend on you, it will depend on me, and I will do it." Look at the latter part of this vision in verse 11. "Then I answered and said to him, 'What are these two olive trees at the right hand of the right lampstand and on its left?' And I further answered and said to him, 'What are these two olive branches that drip into the receptacle of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains?' Then he answered and said to me, 'Do you not know what these are?' And I said, 'No, my Lord.' So he said, 'These are the two anointed ones who stand beside the Lord of the whole earth.'" So the two olive trees were God's anointed ones that God used in order to build a temple, in order to inhabit Jerusalem, in order to deal with the enemies, in order to bring all people back to Jerusalem. But it would all be not by might, not by power, but by the Lord, by my spirit. So the whole vision is saying the work will be done, but it will all be done by my spirit. The question is, God wants to do a work in your heart. Are you ready? The people in the days of Zechariah, there was a work to do. And God says, "Are you ready for the big work that I want to do in your life? I'm going to rebuild the temple. I'm going to inhabit Jerusalem. I'm going to deal with your enemy. I'm going to do it all." Are you ready for a great work? And we know the answer, right? When you look at the continuation of the book of Zechariah, and you look at Ezra, you look at Nehemiah, eventually the temple was built. It was the work of God. It was an amazing work that God did. It's beautiful. So, how does that relate to us? How does that relate to us? When we think about the work of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is already seen in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth, of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. In Job chapter 26, Job chapter 26, verse 13 and 14, it reads as follows. Job 26, 13 and 14. By his Spirit he adorned the heavens. His hand pierced the fleeing serpent. Indeed, these are the mere edges of his work, of his ways, and how small a whisper we hear from him, but the thunder of his power we can understand. When we look at creation, God created everything out of nothing. The mountains, the trees, the waters, the rivers, the land, the animals, the fishes. I would like to suggest this, my dear friends and brothers and sisters, when God's Spirit is at work, wonderful and great things are happening. Things that are out of the ordinary. Things that are out of the human. Things that belong to God. We look at the Old Testament, and the Old Testament is not really, it doesn't really speak a whole lot about the Spirit of God. In the life of Joshua, one of the more important leaders, in the life of David, in the life of Saul, we see sometimes elements of the Spirit. We don't see it so often. But then, of course, when we talk about that beautiful prophecy in the book of Joel, another beautiful thing is seen when we look at that passage. Joel chapter 2, verse 28 through 32. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. How beautiful. When we look at the Old Covenant, there is always a reference to the New Covenant. And the promise was, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. What do we know when we look at that passage? It is quoted in Acts chapter 2. The beginning of the New Testament church. Something new was coming, like it came in the beginning in the book of Genesis. The Spirit would be poured out on all flesh. And we know Acts chapter 2, it was poured out on the Jews. In Acts 10 and 11, it was poured out on the Gentiles collectively. It was a beautiful phenomena when wonderful things happened to the people of God. The Spirit of God became accessible to all people. Let me read a very important passage in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 26, Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. 36, 26. And it says this. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a new heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. We know that this passage relates, first of all, to the captivities that came back from captivity into the promised land. But secondly, we also know that these passages are referring to the new covenant. And that is the important element. And what is the important element here? To cleanse from all unfilthiness. Filthiness. From all your idols. I give you a new heart and a new spirit. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Brothers and sisters, the giving of the Holy Spirit that we find in the New Testament is a spirit who is able to do above what we can think or imagine, according to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. The question again is this morning. God wants to do something new in your heart today. Is there room in your heart for God to do something new? That's the question. In the times of Zerubbabel needed the confirmation, as I would like to say, in order for him to know it can be done. There is a work that should be done, and it can be done. There is a work of rebuilding the temple, and it's difficult and it's hard. Look at it. For 20 years, nothing was done. But God says, don't worry about it. I will do it. I will help you. I will be your assistant. I will do what needs to be done in order that the glory of God would again be recognized. And the Spirit of God would do it. God says again today to all of us, I want to do a great work in your life, in your heart. Is there room for my Spirit in your heart to do what is right? And again, the emphasis when you look at Ezekiel chapter 36 is not in relation to material things. It's not in relation to career. It is not in relation to money. It is not in relation to the things of this world. It is in relation to the things of God. Galatians chapter 5 defines it as the following. Galatians 5 verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. The fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. The fruit of the Spirit is kindness. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Brothers and sisters, the emphasis of God's people are never the material things, are never the earthly things. They are always the spiritual things. They are the things that really matter to God. When I was a young man, I would think of my daddy when it was his birthday. And sometimes I just didn't know what to give my daddy. And I would say, "Daddy, what can I give you? What is something that you like?" You know what his answer was? He said, "Just listen to me. That's all I want. Just listen to me." And of course, he liked presents as well. But that's what he used to say to me. "Just listen to me." Brothers and sisters, God is not interested in earthly welfare. God is not interested in material things. God is not interested in all the letters a person might have behind his name. God is interested in joy, in love, in peace, in long-suffering, in kindness, in goodness, in faithfulness, in gentleness, in self-control. And you might add things to that, but we get the picture, right? This is what God is interested in. This is what makes the New Testament temple. And of course, when you look at those pictures of the temple in the Old Covenant, it always carries the idea of the perfect temple in the New Covenant. Because we know what Hebrews says, right? What could the Old Covenant do? The Old Covenant could do nothing. The blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. There needed to come a new temple. So the temple of the Old Covenant is a picture of the New Covenant, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. God wants to do a work in your heart today, a work of love, a work of joy, a work of peace, a work of long-suffering, a work of kindness, a work of goodness, a work of faithfulness, a work of gentleness, a work of self-control. That is what God wants to do in your heart, in my heart today. Is there room in your heart for God to do something wonderful, to do something great, as in the days of Zerubbabel? And we know the temple was built. You look at the book of Zechariah, the chapter that we are discussing, and when you look at verse 9, if I'm not mistaken, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of the temple. His hands shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? God is challenging them. God says, you might think in small terms. God says, I think in big terms. So, brothers and sisters, as 26 is around, 2026 is around the corner, can we ask for 2026, God wants to do a work in your heart? Is there room? The New Testament says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, don't quench the Spirit. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, something similar. Do not extinguish the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not hurt the Spirit. As in the days of Zerubbabel, God wants to do something in your heart. He wants to bring the fruits of the Spirit in your heart. That is what God wants to do. And as we are moving into 26, will we give God the room in our hearts to produce the fruits of the Spirit? This world has enough people that are highly educated, and it's good. Use your education in a good way. We need to be servants of what God has given us. If you can study, please study. If you can do great things in an earthly sense, please do it. It's your gift that God has given. But God is all the more interested in your spiritual development. Brothers and sisters, the Bible says the greatest command is this: love God above everything else and your neighbor as yourself. That is the work that God wants to do in your life. That is what makes the church the church. That is what makes a Christian, to develop spiritual qualities in your heart. In your heart, let your heart be changed by Him. That's the question that we are asking today. That is what makes the church beautiful, when people allow God to do a work in them and bringing spiritual qualities into your life. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. Says this: for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. What is your program? My brother and my sister, what is your program for life? Is it material things? God says, you're going to die. Is it career? God says, you're going to die. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. Where is your heart? Where is my heart? What do we long for? What is most important in our lives? What is most important in your life? What is most important in my life? For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. You look at the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and chapter 3. Five of the seven churches needed to be chastened because they were doing things according to the flesh. In different ways, in different shapes, in different forms, but that is what it comes down to. They were living according to the flesh. Verse 13 continues, but if, listen to these words very carefully, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. What is God interested in mostly, primarily? Your spiritual development. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. That is what God is interested in, primarily. Again, use your gifts on an earthly level as you have been given. Perfect, wonderful, but always secondary to the spiritual development that God wants to do in your heart. So we come back to the beginning. What is your longing for 26? Is it to become a more humble person? And you might say, you know, knowing my heart, that's not easy. God says, give it to me, and I will do a work in your heart that goes beyond your imagination. You might say, but I have difficulty with the love of money. God says, bring it to me. I can fix it. You might say, I have a problem with jealousy. God says, come to me, and I will fix it. You might say, I have a problem, a deep-seated problem with long-suffering. For me, it's hard to deal with my brothers and my sisters. God says, come to me and I will fix it. Brothers and sisters, what is your challenge? What is your spiritual challenge today? In the book of Zechariah, God says there will be a continual flow of oil from my anointed ones. It will fill Jerusalem. It will fill the temple. It will bring what I have designed to bring. And the temple stood. The high priesthood was restored. The enemy was dealt with. They were back in the land, and they were worshiping God as God intended for them to be. The challenge for us today is the same. What is important to you? That's the question. In conclusion, what a beautiful picture. It's a picture of hope. Some might look at Zechariah chapter 4 and says, okay, this is so hard, this is so difficult. Zechariah could have said, but God, look at it. The temple was laid 16 years ago. Nothing was done. How can it ever be done? God says, just give it to me and I will do it. And that is God's message to us today. Whatever you struggle with, whatever is your difficulty, whatever is your weakness, whatever is your trial, whatever is your difficulty in spiritual development, God says, give it to me, and we will fix it together. So we end with the words of Romans chapter 8, verse 13 again. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. There is a doctrine in the denominational world that says if you're saved once, you can absolutely never lose it, even in spite of your own doings. Is that a Bible doctrine? And the answer is no. Is it a Bible doctrine that God says if you're once saved and you continue in my ways, you will always be saved? And the answer is yes. John chapter 15 says, if you continue in the things that I am giving you, heaven is waiting. Some Christians have fallen into the trap. God is a God of love. God will forgive me. God is a God of love. And so everything is going to be okay. Is that what the Bible says? The Bible says no. The Bible says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But never forget, you are never alone. God is with you. Christ is with you. The Spirit is with you. As in the days of Zechariah, the lampstand was continually filled by God himself. Are you open for the challenge? Am I open for the challenge that God can do in 2026 what he really wants to do in your life and heart? To the Thessalonians, Paul said, you have grown so much in loving. But he said, there is still more room to grow. Read 1 Thessalonians 1 and you find those verses. You have grown in love tremendously, but there is still more room in your heart for more heavenly love. And that is probably true for each one of us, including myself. There is room for spiritual development. And the good news is, you don't have to do it alone. Let 2026 be a year in which God is glorified more in your life by bringing more spiritual qualities into your heart. Amen. Yes.